I'm Chris.
I'm Sandy.
And this is Parenting Autism. Hi everyone, welcome to episode 117 of the Parenting Autism Podcast. My name is Chris, I'm with my lovely wife, Sandy.
Good morning.
And what do we got going on this time around, Sandy?
Well, I can't believe how much has happened in the past 3 weeks, but it just seems like we've had a lot of things happening. And the last time we recorded, you were not feeling well at all, so I just want to say we're even though you still got a little bit of a frog in your throat, you may have to clear your throat a few times here, and you are feeling much better, and we're grateful for that.
Yeah, it seems like even our neighbors are getting the same thing. It's this year, the bug, you get it for 2 to 3 weeks, it goes away for a week, and then it comes back.
I think it's like a boomerang bug.
It's weird. Yeah. Never had that before.
Think you're better, and then it comes back. So anyway, you're in a good enough window that we can record today, so... Mm-hmm. We just have some stuff to share. Since we last recorded, we had gone to Orlando for Bryce's pre-EEG appointment with his neurologist. And then we did the EEG this past week. And then we also had his equestrian competition where he got featured in the newspaper. And we had some other things that have just popped up with behaviors, and that's what we do on here. We just kind of
talk through,
share our world and talk through them. So it's just been a lot going. Oh, and we had some ABA changes too with our RBT moving. So just a lot of different things that have been happening that I know our listeners who also have children on the spectrum can relate to in some ways. And then we have listeners who may not have family members on the spectrum, but they are either trying to understand the world of autism more, or maybe they're therapists and it helps them get an insight to a parent's perspective. That's really what this is kind of all about for us. So I guess we will start with, I usually do chronological order, so we'll go back to where we went to Orlando. And this time we took Bryce's best friend, Michael, with us and did an overnight stay at a hotel. So I will start with the good positive things was that the boys get along really well. And Michael has an extra dose of patience and understanding for Bryce. I know is from God to be Bryce's best friend. And they had a lot of fun. They both love elevators. So I knew when we surprised them with staying at the AC Marriott Hotel in Orlando, it's a high rise. I think it's the tallest hotel in Orlando downtown. And we did a lot of elevator tours. So it was fun and it was exciting for them. But on that same note with the elevator, there's an elevator at the neurologist's office, and we went there first. And the boys, well, Bryce has struggles with sharing. So everything he wants to do is either be in control in some way or he wants to go first. And that's something we work on, but we haven't perfected. And to be quite honest, there really aren't that many opportunities to teach him hands-on in real life situation. With me and you, it's different, right? Mm-hmm. But when he actually has a live friend and we're in a live setting, I thought he did really good. He said in the beginning, okay, Michael, he had the plan that Bryce would hit the button to go up, which means he would get to do it first, and then Michael could hit the button to go down. We had the plan. We went in, got through the doctor's appointment, and then the boys wanted to go to each of the 5 floors, and Michael forgot the plan, and he hit the button to go up. It happens. But as soon as that happened, I knew the plan and I thought, oh boy, here we go. And I saw Bryce's face and he remembered the plan. And really, Michael didn't even remember. He was clueless as to that he just hit a trigger. And so Bryce got upset. When Bryce gets upset, he first internalizes it, and then it comes out. And so when we got, by the time we got to the fifth floor, he was clearly upset. And then that's when he said, you know, you push the button. And we're like, it's okay. You know, you can press it to go down, but that wasn't the rule. So it took a bit to work through that. He wanted to go back down and go back up.
He likes to undo things. Like if somebody makes a mistake like that and does what he wanted to do, then he has to undo everything in his mind.
Undo and redo, right?
And he has to do it all by himself. And and so it escalated, and then we were able to de-escalate it.
We were. Thankfully, it did not take that long. And we were able to, like you said, unescalate and then or de-escalate and work through it. And by the time we left there, which wasn't too much of a delay, he was in a pretty good spot. But I will say that one thing he did, and it's just coming back to me now, is he slapped himself in the face harder than I've ever seen him hurt himself. Mm-hmm. And that was what shocked us and took us all back. I mean,
yeah,
it was bad. And it was an instant reaction that we couldn't stop. And I felt so sad for him. I did. And then Michael just said, is this part of his autism? We're like, yeah, it is, you know. But he was such a kind, caring, compassionate friend. And then he would just say later, are you okay, Bryce? Bryce, are you okay now? Yeah. You know, I know it shocked him as much as it shocked us. But what happened was we got through all that. And then when we got to inside the vehicle, Bryce would bring it up again. Mm-hmm. And so then that's where we have to, okay, we're out of the moment now. He can think more clearly now. So we kind of have to gauge that. Like, when is he out of that, I can't control it, and into the, I can control it, but I'm just, what's that word? Perseverating on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we know with Bryce, the last thing he wants to do is go to the hospital. So you just started the conversation with me. Well, we know he's hearing us. Well, I guess we'll have to take him to the hospital if he's going to keep hitting himself like that or talking about it. Maybe the doctor can help him. And he'll be like, oh, no, I'm okay.
I'm all done.
So we had to just do that a few times. And once we hear that, then we know, okay, it's just helping him get through this.
And really, that's our last resort, is to say something like that.
Right.
You know, because nothing else is working in the moment, you got to pull the hospital card.
You kind of do. You like, do.
If you know something works, and you're at your wit's end and you don't know what else to do and you're in a confined environment and you just can't stop and go for a walk around the block or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, we had to do it.
And that's kind of where we were. We could not change the scenery because we're driving around in Orlando. So we did have some surprises for them. And that was the other thing that we're like, hey, you know, we've got some surprises for you. And first we went to Chick-fil-A, which that wasn't a surprise, but that got Bryce's mind off of it once we could finally get there. And then we said, no, we have another surprise. And so we took him to a music store, which was a surprise. And the boys got to play on drums and keyboards. And we actually got Bryce a new drum set in the past few weeks.
There, yeah.
No, but we have in the past few weeks, like out last weekend, so that way he can practice his drums at home too. So that was fun. And then you had a great idea, which I would not have thought of. But the boys are, they're very fascinated with Teslas because that's the game that they play on Roblox, has Teslas, and let's say they're cool cars. I mean, as far as the features, once I saw it, I'm like, well, I can kind of see why little boys like this.
Yeah.
But anyway, you found a Tesla. It was a Tesla service center that was very close to the music store and on the way to the hotel. So we surprised them and took them there, and they had two models in the, I don't want to say showroom, but they were kind of, it was like that in the lobby there. And I couldn't believe that they let the boys play in the cars to the extent that they did without saying a word to us.
Mm-hmm.
But there were all kinds of buttons, and they got to make the doors go up and down and the back go up and down. And then, unfortunately, this, again, we just came off the tail end of the elevator meltdown thing. And Michael hopped in the driver's seat, which Bryce said he could, and that was fine. But Bryce was trying to get out of the way of the door, and the door was coming down, and it hit Bryce right in the head. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it hit him hard. Yeah. I know that hurt. So then, of course, he thinks Michael did it on purpose initially. And then we're like, no, that was an accident. We worked through that, but we had to undo that. I don't know
why the car didn't sense that he was there.
That is really a valid point that you would think that it would have those sensors. So maybe we should write, what's that guy's name? I'm kidding. The Tesla dude. But anyway, I'm joking.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, be careful if you're around a Tesla door because it will hit you in the head coming down. And we had to work through that a little bit. But I think they were having so much fun with it, and they were taking turns.
It took a little while, too, to undo. So
It did. I mean.
So it was two dings in a row.
Could we believe it happened? No. But it did. But I will say, by the time we left there, he was really in a good place again. Yeah. So it was definitely a couple of punches and being tested to get through. And I was like, wow, you know, this is what happens when we take him out of his normal routine, as I call it, out of the bubble. And things are going to happen. And I feel like the good news is that what used to take such a long time to come through, we came through in a much shorter period of time, and it didn't ruin the entire day. And because that's another thing with Bryce. If something bad happens, he thinks he has to go to the next day. He thinks that whole entire day
is ruined.
Mm-hmm. And that's what he thought initially, like, this day is ruined. I mean, it was very early in the morning and we had a lot of fun things planned. So the fact that we could get him, his mind off that track, to know that the day was not ruined and we still had a lot of fun things to do, I felt like it was a win for us, because that was two major whammies for him to work through in a very, very short period of time. So we got through that. And then after the Tesla, they thought we were staying in a different hotel. And so when we took them to that hotel, that was a big ordeal. Mm-hmm. And so while I took the boys for their first elevator tour, we came back and the manager, or the general manager, actually came to the room to check on us, because
We had stayed there before.
They sent me a note about coming, and I asked for the top floor again if it was available because of Bryce's passion for elevators in high-rise hotels or skyscrapers. And they more than accommodated. They did give us the top room with a great view of the airport, so we could see planes coming in and out. And then they came up and they actually wrote Bryce a note and invited him to have a special private tour to see how the elevators work and where the firefighters come in if there's a problem at the hotel. And we got to go to the 26th floor, which nobody gets to go to. That's which is where all the machines are to operate the elevators. So Bryce and Michael got to do that. And then they gave Bryce a AC Marriott pin to wear, which the employees get to wear. I mean, it was such VIP treatment and such a cool thing to do.
Into like secret doors that people don't even know, that was like on the outside of the building. And they took us in to this fire room where you could control the elevators, you could control the fans in the building. I mean, he explained what happened if there's a fire in the building and what they do. And it's, I had no idea about the technology involved in case there's an issue inside one of these buildings, right? I mean, there's so many things you can do from that room, from only making the elevators going one way, you know, so people can get out, or however they said that. And then you can turn the fans on to blow one way, like to blow the smoke out, or whatever. I mean, it was amazing. I was floored that there was like this whole, and they had a guy that was in charge of that, right?
Yeah. And then they had the intercom system, so he was showing how
he could talk make to an the announcement whole hotel and, right from that room.
So then Bryce wanted to know, where do they make the announcement? So then we were looking in our room for the speaker, and it was really, really amazing.
They were amazing.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that definitely made the day end on a much higher note.
Hi, Bryce.
Hi, Flippy. I see you. Bryce, are you coming in to say hi? Is Flippy saying hi? Flippy. It's okay. Flippy just got excited. If you're here, say hi.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Flippy, I want to say hi in your microphone.
Okay.
Flippy is Bryce's stuffed dolphin.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Bryson Flippy. Have a good morning. We'll be out soon. Close the door, please. Thank you. So Bryce has this huge stuffed dolphin that we got from SeaWorld that we named Flippy, and he likes to bring Flippy into rooms and scare me with his bottlenose. So anyway, he wanted to just surprise us. So moving right along, so we got through all that, and then we did, speaking of SeaWorld, we took Michael to SeaWorld for his first time, and the boys did really great. Mm-hmm. It was a good day, and
they sat in the splash zone.
Yep, they had fun together, and I shared a post on Facebook on my page, and you know, I said every parent wants their child to have a best friend in life. You know, you do. You want your child to find good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you have a child on the autism spectrum, and you know that they struggle with making friends and social interactions, it's a whole other level of love and deep appreciation when you have found a special friend for your child who understands them mm-hmm. enough that they just accept them without judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to the boys play in the back seat while we were driving, and Bryce is pretty funny, I have to say, but Michael was laughing at him, and he goes, "He's funny," you know? And so Michael thinks Bryce is funny too with yeah. his humor. And you were saying we could like have a YouTube channel of these two playing together. Yeah. They are great fun together.
They are funny to listen to.
They are. So, you know, it was just, it warmed our hearts so much to be able to take Michael with us overnight and let Bryce have this experience like any other little boy would have. Mm-hmm. That was beautiful. And so that was a big, big highlight. And then the weeks continued, and then we had some blips on the radar. But another thing I will say, that just talking about Bryce and behaviors and working through things, is last Sunday, so this is a week ago, we went to church, and I guess it was 2 weeks ago. And so anyway, I serve there too. So I'm with Bryce part of the time, not the whole time. So when I came over to where we go into the treehouse where all of the kids are, I saw Bryce standing outside. And so I'm like, "What's going on?" And they said, "Well, he said he can't go in there." And Bryce goes, "Well, there's balloons." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So I look inside. These were the largest latex balloons I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
I can't tell you how big they were.
Hmm.
At least, I would say three times the size of a normal latex balloon. I don't know how they blew them that big. So anyway, they were huge. Mm-hmm. And they were laying on the floor. And it was part of the story, which I understood. Mm-hmm. But our team there at the church was so, again, talking about understanding. The teacher immediately said, "I can take them out. It's okay. I can still do the story without him." And I said, "You don't have to. I can keep." "No, no. We want him to be in here. You know, whatever we can do for him." I'm like, "Well, he's not going to go in there with them." So,
yeah.
And so they, like, four of them just immediately started taking all the balloons out, and they're like, "But they could pop." But Bryce had his headphones on, and we kept him outside, and they removed everything. And then he wanted to know if he was okay with the
Mylar
balloon. And I said, "Yes." And so when the story was there, they were able to have that one there. And Bryce is not afraid of that balloon because they don't make the loud, unexpected popping sounds like right. the others. So anyway, I get him through that, and he had another birthday party to go to. He went to one in January for Michael, and now he has another friend that he's really bonded with, who's younger. In fact, he just turned 6. And so we're going to go to his birthday party. And I had asked Bryce before we even went into church, ironically, I said, "If there are balloons at the birthday party for decoration, are you going to be okay with that?" And he said, no, I can't survive that. That's too hard mm-hmm. for me." Okay. So we get over that balloon hurdle at church after we just talked about balloons. And I had asked his friend's mom, "Will there be balloons for decoration?" And she said, "Yes." So I said, I told Bryce there would be. So I said, "Well, let's go there. We'll give him his gift. We'll tell him happy birthday. And if it's too uncomfortable for you, we'll leave.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to stay, we can stay. You know, maybe we can try it for 5 minutes. I figured I'd try, like, you know, the little thing, and then you build small steps mm-hmm. to big steps.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our agreement when we went over. So we pulled in to the driveway, and when I opened the car door, I could hear laughter and kids playing, and I thought, "Oh, it's going to be in the backyard. We'll be outside. Maybe the balloons aren't outside. We might have a chance." So when we went in, the new thing, I don't know if you've seen this, but I had posted this picture on our Parenting Autism page, Facebook and Instagram, because they have like arches of latex balloons, not like a couple of helium balloons in the air. It's like full on decorations with maybe 20 to 50 balloons, depending on the size of the arch. That's what they had, which it looks amazing. And it is a beautiful decoration, but that would be like 20 to 50 snakes in a living room for Bryce, you know, for decoration, and he's supposed to stay in the room. So when he saw that, I'm like, that's okay, let's go on through. I didn't even have him stay in that room. We walked right through, and we went to the back porch, and then the kids were playing out back. They had a water slide and then the swing set. So outside, he seemed okay. So we were able to stay for a little while. And then we actually went back inside because I had him take his he took his shoes off because the ground was wet from all the water. And then he got grass on his feet. So, you know, it's a sensory thing. We had to clean his feet. So we had to go in the house for that. He stayed in that room with that big arch of balloons for a moment while we cleaned off his feet. And the only thing he did was he saw there was one loose on the ground. And he said, could you please remove that purple balloon? And he said it very calmly. And the dad said, oh, yes. And he went and he got it and he took it out of the room and he was okay. And then we went back outside. So I think because that one was loose and on the ground, he knew that was the one that had the most probability of popping. So he calmly asked for that to go out. But other than that, we stayed for an hour and he had a great time and did his first pinata and had his first Kit Kat bar, which we won't be doing that often, but it was a yummy treat for him. And it was so funny because he doesn't eat candy often at all. So he says, can I have this? Is there peanut butter? I'm like, no. And there was a Reese's cup. I'm like, you can't have this one, but you can have the Kit Kat. Sure, you can try it. Your little face is going to break out, which I told him because I wanted him to know. I said, but you can try it. And he took one bite and he looked at me with his eyes so big. He goes, this is yummy. So I was like, oh, I'll make a note for a rare special occasion. And Kit Kats can be something for him. But anyway, so that again, I thought, man, encountering those balloons like that twice in less than a couple of hours and we made it through, I thought that was also another big win for the Coulter family.
I thought you guys were going to be back.
Right away. I know.
And then you're gone for a while. I'm like, oh, well, I guess they figured it out. And
we did.
I was so glad.
I know. So that was really good. So the EEG, we mentioned that we went up for the pre-EEG appointment. So Bryce's 24-hour EEG was this past Monday night. And we have done this This is his third year in a row that we're doing this now to monitor his brainwaves. You want to take some of this?
Yeah. So we get there really early in the morning, like 8 o'clock, check in. They put the leads on his head. They don't have to shave his head or anything, but they have some type of glue paste that they use to put the leads on. It's 21 leads, and it monitors his brain activity for 24 hours. So they get all the wires into a backpack and they put the controller in a backpack and then they put us in a room, which is like a, I would say a bedroom size room. So there's like a hospital bed in there that he sits on or lays on, and then we plug his controller into the wall so that it goes into their computers. And then so they have a TV in there. We can watch TV. He played a lot on his iPad. And during the 24 hours, they come in and they try to, I don't know if they try to trigger a seizure, but they try to boost the brain activity to the threshold of a seizure
with light,
with strobe light and hyperventilation. So he has to blow on this little pinwheel fan as hard as he can until he gets out of breath, and then he closes his eyes, and then they do the strobe light and it flashes at different rates. And fortunately that didn't have any effect on him at all, according to the results. So They have like a little kitchen there where you can get snacks, but you can, like, because both of us were there, one of us was able to leave the building to go get lunch and dinner and stuff. So, somebody has to be there with him at all times. So, and then they also have a camera on him. So if he does have a seizure, they'll be able to correlate what they're seeing on the computer with the visual, you know, what's going on. So, we brought an air mattress and we made the best of it. And the next morning they get you up early. This one wasn't too early. I think we got up at 6 or something. And then they started undoing the wires. I don't know how many kids were there.
I think they had 6.
6 kids. So
and Bryce was last to get undone, so we could kind of delay our departure this time.
Yeah, and we had a doctor's appointment that morning with the doctor to go over the results. So we got out of there, I don't know, at 7:30?
Yeah.
What did we do after that?
Breakfast.
Oh, yeah, we went to a little cafe nearby, and then we came back for the appointment.
Which saved us another trip to going to Orlando.
Yeah. So we're there early for the doctor's appointment, and they're like, okay, we'll get you in as soon as we can. So then they called us in, and the lady, the doctor lady, she went over the report. We didn't have a copy of it at the time, but she was reading it from her notes. And the way she explained it, it sounded like there was improvement. And there's some technical terms, sharps and spikes and slowing. And so she explained to us that he did have abnormal activity during the day and the night, which was different from the last 2 years. The last 2 years, we were told that he only had this abnormal activity during the night. And then she also told us that there were no sharps or spikes noted at all, day or night, which is good news. And the other piece of that was that the abnormal activity moved from the frontal lobe area to the parietal lobe, which is back toward where his injury is. So we took it as an improvement, with the exception of the abnormal activity happening during the day and night. So she says, we still have to keep an eye on this. We still have to do annual EEGs because he's coming into puberty, and this is the time where kids on the spectrum most often start to have seizures. And so we said, okay, we all agreed that we didn't need medication at this time because there's no clinical seizures happening. He just has the mildly abnormal EEG. So she said, okay, we're going to send you his report, you know, in a couple of days once we have it in the computer or whatever. And we're okay. So we got the report yesterday. And I read it, and I'm like, wow. I said, this is different from what the doctor told us. And so I gave it to you, and I didn't say a word. Because, you know, my memory, I'm getting old. Your memory, we're just getting old. And we just wanted to give the doctor the benefit of the doubt.
You're like, here, read this.
So I said, here's his report. And so you read it, and you're like, what did you say? You're like,
wait a minute, this isn't
what she said. I'm like, thank you.
Well, the thing that popped off the page to me was it said there that there was nothing happening while he was awake.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Because the thing that concerned me most was that now there was activity while during he was awake day. And so while he was asleep. With
that, right. So that.
That was the was first good news. One.
I'm like, it was good news that the report showed that there was no abnormal activity during the daylight hours. And then.
Or while he's awake.
Yeah, while he's awake. And then the that, other thing was...
Well, then I go to the next page, and then it says there were sharps and spikes. I go, wait a minute. There were sharps and
spikes.
I thought she said there were no sharps and spikes, and that's why we were excited.
Yes.
So it was like the worst thing was different, and the best thing was different.
Yeah.
I'm like, now I'm confused.
So we have to call the doctor tomorrow, Monday. Today's Sunday. We can't call. So we'll call him tomorrow. We'll try to get it all straightened out. So we're a little confused at the results. And it's very important to us because, yes, you know, not only do we need to know the real truth, but we went through last summer, we had the oxygen chamber that we used, mm-hmm, that was supposed to help his brain.
Mm-hmm.
And reading the report, I'd say there's improvement because he went from abnormal
to mildly
like just below normal.
Yeah.
And which is good. And so we just got to talk to the doctor, figure that out, determine whether we want to do the chamber again or not.
That's really it.
Yeah.
Because we're on the fence that if this really did provide improvement, then it would be worth doing it again. Mm-hmm. And Bryce really doesn't want to. We've talked about it, but we could definitely give him a big enough prize that it would be worth it. And we could explain to him, this is really helping you, mm-hmm, you know, because he likes to know why he's having to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's not correct and there really are still sharps and spikes and, you know, and it's kind of an inaccurate report, then it's not worth going through all those hoops and expenses, mm-hmm, and all that we have to do with that.
Yeah.
So it's very important to us. So,
I mean, we read the report and we're like, you know, was she reading a different report from another kid? I don't know
what she did.
I think she
skimmed right down to the summary.
That's what you said. Yeah. Because the summary, the conclusion or the whatever they,
yeah, whatever they whatever label whatever that. Cause we was. Took out
impression,
all, impression. Impression. That's it. We took all three reports out and kind of compared them.
We read the details.
Yeah. And it's kind of like a form report and then they modify the details.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like where copy and paste can bite you in the butt. I'm wondering if that's what happened. So we'll just have them go back and read it again and make sure it's really accurate.
Yeah.
And to be determined. So that's kind of where we're at on the EEG, which, you know, that just kind of threw a little curveball to us yesterday.
Yeah.
But we're glad that's done and behind us. And we definitely will be staying on the 1-year plan. And they really said, for us, we're looking at Bryce's behaviors and his learning progress. If we see any significant changes in behaviors where, like, he becomes aggressive, I guess that's one of the key indicators that something's shifting in the brain, major behaviors that way.
Or if he's having trouble learning.
And if he has trouble learning. She goes, even if he stops learning, not even regresses, those are things that we would might want to go and do one prior
to
a
year. But he's doing well.
But he is doing well, and we've even been talking about that, like, how well he is doing.
His reading's
better.
And he's
flourishing in his education and reading and different things. So a lot of things right there, and we're very, very happy about that. So I guess the last thing I wanted to talk about was some ABA changes that are going to be happening. And we met with Bryce's ABA team at the end of the week here on Friday. Mm-hmm. And we've got a good plan together now, which I think is good. It's going to be good for us. It's going to be good for Bryce. We've mentioned Miss Brianna before. She's his RBT, and she is going to be moving out of the area. She's moving out of the state. And so we thought it might happen later, but things have changed for her. So she's moving now. And so that kind of just like, okay.
It all came together. Because he had
to
do his his new plan.
Yes.
And she is departing as we're getting his new plan.
Yeah.
And it looks like we'll be able to work his plan ourselves, right?
Yes.
And the ABA techs, they change often, you know, and it's to be expected. And I just think we're at a point now where we can hone in on what the team says, hone in on the things that are important to us for
him.
Yeah,
and that's what I was going to just go over, a couple of the things just to give the listeners an idea. Are we okay on time?
Yeah.
Okay. flippy-flipped water on my notes, but that's okay. Anyway, so yeah, it was really good meeting with them and going over these assessments, because I had done like 4 assessments, and it kind of gave us a snapshot of where Bryce is now at age 10. And these particular assessments, I guess a couple are required for insurance purposes, and then the other two were selected based on Bryce and his needs and how we could focus on helping him. So some things that came up were even like cutting his nails for his fingers and his toes. And is this the right time for him to start learning to do that? Packing an overnight bag. And I thought, oh, I hadn't even thought about that, but this would be good. We can create a packing list for him so he can get used to what he needs to take when he's not at home, and what toiletries he needs and which clothes he would need. And it's these kind of things that, as we were discussing all of that, you know, as his parents, we do a lot of stuff for him. Yeah. And it probably because it's just easy because I'm packing and I'll be like, I'll pack for me, I'll pack for Bryce, and you pack for you, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that we do just because we do it.
We've always done it.
We've just always done it. But we realize now there's some things that we just kind of need to
turn over to him,
you know, a little, and not overwhelm him, because it's another thing. He gets overwhelmed. If we try to do too many things at one time, that would not go over well either. Mm-hmm. But it's like giving us a list, a visual list to work with. If he had a cut, would he know to apply pressure to stop the bleeding?
Mm-hmm.
We do that for him, but that's something, you know, we can show him and teach him. Toilet paper. If he runs out of toilet paper, if he's in there, does he even know how to change the roll to get to the next roll? If there's none in the bathroom and we weren't around and he needed to have toilet paper, does he know where it is so that he could get another roll? You know, it's just those kind of things that you don't think about. I think we've done a good job with getting him started on his bath. He has some struggles with remembering what to do. We talked about visual tools more. And they had really good suggestions that, because we are verbal prompters. And probably because when you start on this journey at age 2, you do a lot of verbal prompting. But they said the best thing now is to get away from the verbal prompts, have the visuals, because he is a visual kid and he does well with those, and then just point. Don't say a word. If he's stuck, just come over, point,
get his mind. Tap him on the shoulder, point to the visual schedule.
But don't use words.
To get him back on track.
So that's kind of the key. It's so funny, because before we had this meeting with them, I don't know, I picked up Flippy because he likes Flippy, right? We do all the little funny voices. I was using Flippy to tell Bryce to pick his clothes up off the floor. Because if I tell him, he'll be like, Mommy, you don't need to tell me that. I know. Well, do you? Because they're still on the floor, right? So I use Flippy. But now he wants, if I just point at his clothes, he go, wait, get Flippy. So now he wants Flippy to tell him every time. So I'm going to have to like maybe do that once and then break it.
Kind of like the puppets.
Yeah.
We discussed using the puppets, I mean, in prior episodes, and for whatever reason, using puppets or stuffed animal to communicate, they handle it differently. They look at it differently. They almost understand better when a puppet's telling them something than if we do.
He receives it in a whole other way.
He does. And it's
in a fun way,
I guess.
It's
very interesting.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
So, yeah, it was good. They gave us a lot of different things like that. We're going to be getting the other assessment as well, because I answered all the questions. It'll be good for you to see the questions that they ask. And I want to come back and do another episode on that, because for parents who don't have the tools that we get, that's another reason why we share, because it's thought-provoking. Like, I didn't even think about doing that with my child, or I didn't even think about asking that.
I'm seeing one of them, like, you know, identifying clothes that fit or don't fit. You know, he wouldn't know any different if he put a shirt on that didn't fit him anymore. You know, it might be way too small for him, but it's a shirt and he put it on, right? Yeah. So he doesn't know what to look for or how it feels.
Those pants I put on him to wear, and then I realized that they were how short, you know, they were like high waters.
Yeah.
And
so they suggested using a super small size.
Yeah.
Like you can't get past your knees, or, you know, you can't hardly get into it, to emphasize the point. Okay, this piece of clothing is too small.
Yeah.
We should give this away, or, you know, whatever.
Someone have to borrow it from somebody, and then we'll do that. But again,
things you don't think about.
We would not think
it
of.
It comes automatic to us, but not to them.
That's it. Yeah. So it's good. I think we're excited to be given these ideas and suggestions and a plan. Really, that's what it is. It's a plan that we'll be doing. And we did this before. If you've followed our podcast in the past, for the listeners, it was 2021, I want to say, that we had an RBT that left. And we're like, you know what? Can we just keep the plan? And we worked with a BCBA who came, Miss Amandy, who would come every week or every other week to kind of go over it with us. And if we got stuck on something, she could kind of help us talk through it. So that's what has been really helpful for us. And that worked. And then at a certain point, we felt like we needed another RBT to work with Bryce one-on-one, and that worked. So it's the point would be on all of
seasons.
This. There are seasons. It depends on the age. It depends where you're at and your child's development. And there may be a time down the road that we're going to be like, wow, we really could use a one-on-one RBT again, and or, you know, some other assistance. But for now, we feel good and we're at peace that this is the right plan, and we're really grateful to have that plan. And that will be going on. I think the last thing that I want to share, and I do think this is important, and I hope you're okay sharing this, but what happened during that meeting that triggered Bryce to get so upset, and how we worked through that. You okay with that? Because it really involved you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's yeah. Fine.
Okay, so Bryce was in the room while we were going over the plan. He was on the opposite end of the house, so I'm sure he could hear us, but he had his TV on. I think he was watching Paw Patrol. And at some point, he must have tuned into what we were talking about. And specifically, what we were talking about was cutting his toenails and fingernails. And you had said, is that the right age for that? For 10?
Yeah, like the assessment that you did, I just wanted to make sure, you know, is this, because some of the questions on the assessment, you're like, is this for his age or is this for somebody that's in their teens? It's, you know, Bryce is our only child, so we don't have any other kids to go by. And she told us, yeah, this is his age range. I'm like, okay, that's very good, because that's the information that we need, this assessment that's appropriate for his age right now.
Right. And how you said it was.
She says you can pick and choose which things that are important to you that you think that he needs to be able to do. And I said, okay, because I was wondering if this was age appropriate for Bryce to be cutting his own fingers and toenails, if he's old enough.
That's the words right there. I didn't know if Bryce was old enough to do that.
Yeah.
Well, that's important, because those are the words that triggered
the
outburst that we were shocked, right?
Yeah.
And this is probably one of the more shocking things that has happened so far. And so, yeah, you're just saying, yeah, I just didn't know if he was old enough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it would be like if you're age 6 or if you're age 10. And of course, I'm going to cough right now. Excuse me. So anyway, so then Bryce says, the TV went off and he's listening. And then we said, Bryce, did you want to come over here?
And no, he did something.
No, he said something. I'm not old enough. Did he say what he said?
No, he says, I hate you,
did
Daddy.
Did that just come out right?
Yes.
Oh, no, you hate me, Daddy. That's what he said.
You hate me, Daddy.
You hate me, Daddy. And you're like, we're like, what?
What in the world?
He goes, I think you hate me when you say, I'm not old enough.
Yeah. I never heard him say the word hate before.
Me either. And definitely not to us or toward us.
Yeah.
And I've heard him even say it with a game, like I hate, and I'm like, we don't really like that word.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only time I've heard that.
And then he said, I hate you, Daddy.
Then I could see he was crying.
And I looked at you, and I said, did he just say he hated me?
And I had to process it too, babe.
I mean, I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't either. And none of us could. And then I saw his face, and he was on the verge of crying.
Yes.
And I said, he's really upset.
What is happening?
Like, where did this come from?
Felt like I entered the Twilight Zone.
Yes. So I was so glad that his ABA team was here, because we were kind of like, how are they going to handle this, right?
Yeah, what do we do?
So we had
Well, I went over first.
You went over first.
And I tried to figure out what he was talking about, you know, why he felt so strongly. And I don't think he could tell me, could he?
Not at first. So this was quite a bit of a process, but what we ended up unpacking was that he said 6 or 12 months ago. Did he say 3 or 6 months ago? He gave us a timeline. He said it was like months ago that you had told him that there was something he couldn't watch. And he told us specifically what was in the details of a show.
Oh.
Because he wasn't old enough to watch it.
Yeah, so it was a TV show that we were watching, but he was in the room playing on his iPad, but I don't know, it was probably like...
He said it was 3 or 6 months ago.
And there was a scene in the show that we didn't think was appropriate for Bryce, but he was watching the TV at the time that the scene came on, you know. More appropriate for adults than kids. And it was on a regular network TV, right? I think it was a
violent kind of thing.
Yeah. It was like...
Who knows? He described it. I don't... It must have been one of your shows you're watching. Because he wasn't mad. Because he wasn't mad at me.
Well, you were watching it with me.
But I don't think it was Blacklist. I think it was something else what he described.
No.
And I'm not... Know. That's no fault. I'm just saying he wasn't mad at me.
It was one of the shows that we had watched.
And you don't watch anything terrible. That's what I'm saying. We like have a... But anyway.
So I must have said to him at the time, you're not old enough to watch this.
That's
exactly it. So I had paused the TV, and so he could go in another room in his bedroom or whatever.
Yeah.
And so when I asked if he was old enough to clip his nails, that triggered the memory of you're not old enough to watch this.
It took him right back to that.
And boy, he hit the couch. He was hitting the couch. He was crying. He was so
He repeated the hate statement a few times, getting that out of his system. So we had to talk to him, and then I stayed in my seat because I felt like it wouldn't help if I went over at that time,
right?
Or even speak at that time, because he was just in the thick of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so the ABA team, the lead, she went over as well, and she did a great job with him.
She talked him through.
She talked him through it while you were sitting beside
him.
And
she said, "I'll leave you alone if you want me to leave you alone. Do you want me to leave you alone?" And I think he said yes, but she knew to be persistent, to try to get it out of what was bothering him.
That was the thing. We had to get the details.
Because without details, we're stuck in the ever-revolving...
Twilight Zone.
Yeah. So she was able to talk him through it and get the details out of him, even though he was still upset. And he was still upset at the end of the conversation. So I said, okay, let's get your shoes on. I said, you want to get some fresh air? And he's like, yeah, I'd like to get some fresh air. And he says, and he knew that we would walk around the block or whatever and talk, right? He's like, can I ride my bike? Do we have enough time that I can ride my bike? And I said, absolutely. You can ride your bike and I'll walk. So he was happy about that. And we got on his bike and he was happy riding. And we were able to talk going around the block. And by the time we got back, we were, you know, racing. You know, I was running. He was trying to beat me. And he was going off into the grass accidentally. I'm going to win. And so by the time we got back, he was all happy and we were kind of done with that. And I apologized to him when we were going around the block. I said, you know, I'm really sorry about that. I'm sorry that I upset you with that. And we talked back and forth. Mm-hmm. I can't remember really exactly what was said, but we worked through it together, you know. And he hasn't brought it up since then. And I think
what was interesting about that was before that whole thing happened, I was making notes on my paper, like we were discussing Bryce. And one of the things in the assessment was talking about how little things can cause a big reaction. And then we were talking about how he internalizes.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't normally have an instant reaction if something upsets him, but he internalizes it. And then something will trigger it. And I had even said this, and I said, and then it can be months, days, years later, something will come up and he can tell you the specific day of the week and what it was and what happened. And we can't remember that, but it's still burned in his mind, which was kind of in that book we talked about, Why I Jump. But anyway, that's what happened. And then we had a case in point right there. And I'm like, oh my goodness, he's had this in there all this time. And then it was like, when those words were said, his brain went right back there. Yep. And then he got all of his anger out about that, that he had been storing all this time.
Subconsciously. Because wasn't walking around mad at us. It was just a memory back in there, locked in there.
So think about that with the families that have children on the spectrum or adults who are on the spectrum. And they're not able to verbalize that. And then all of a sudden they're upset about something in a really extreme way and you have zero idea why. And if Bryce, it took a team effort to get it out of him what even upset him this time, but he was able to, and that's a win. But when they can't, I mean, that's a horrible situation to be in. And in his mind, it was a very legit reason to be upset and to feel hate. And the only reason why he said he hated you is because he felt like you hated him. And in his mind, he's exchanging the word mad, anger, and hate. Somewhere he's learned that along the line, and we'll have to work on undoing that. But it was shocking. But I just am happy that we were able to come through that. And then I think the one thing that kind of sealed the deal to help him move forward was that he wanted us to remove any shows recorded on the DVR that he would not be allowed to watch with us. And I get that because we did watch a show, The Blacklist, and you know, there were some things in there that we just didn't want him hearing or seeing. And we would say, Bryce, won't you go to the other room? Or if you want to go in your room. Well, I can see now that hurts his feelings. And he's right. If he can't watch it, then maybe we shouldn't be watching it. That's a good point.
I agree.
So we went through. And that show's been canceled anyway. So it's ended. But we went through everything. And we're like, okay, if you want to stay in the room, everything here, you can stay. So I was watching something and he goes, what are you watching, mommy? I'm like, well, I'm just watching a show about renovating houses. You want to sit and watch it with me? Oh, okay. But you know, he's like checking to make sure that whatever we have on is appropriate for him and he will not be excluded from anything anymore because that hurt his feelings and he thinks we don't like him or that we're mad at him if we don't want him in the same room with us. I get it. So that was a big, big eye-opening lesson. Life is full of lessons. We've been learning them often, daily. But I wanted to share all of that, and hopefully that will share some nuggets. I really don't have anything else to share right now. I know normally I share funny things from Bryce, but we'll wrap up with that because we've talked a lot, and we got to go get ready for church. And then we will be back on here soon to share some more. And we appreciate everybody tuning in and listening.
Don't forget about our book on Amazon, Parenting Autism, The Early Years.
And we have the newsletter that we're sending out now, and March will be coming out soon. So if you want to sign up for that, just send us an email.
All right. And the email is parentingautism@att.net. Or you can contact us through the website, parentingautismshow.com.
All right.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.